Ho, ho, ho. It is Neston Styles' last minute, last podcast for the year of 2010. So our theme today is last minute because we're coming up on Christmas Day in like 2 days. And we've still got some ideas because, you know what, there are still people out there that need to get some shopping done. And maybe that special person is a gardener. Okay, so we've got some ideas for that. Some entertaining, lots of great ideas. This is just last minute ideas. That's what this whole show is about, right, Teresa?
Absolutely. And you know, what I was so surprised to learn was that Black Friday isn't the biggest shopping day. It's actually like right now, the last few days before Christmas. And all you have to do is drive by the mall to see that. Don't you think, Jamie?
Yeah. It's like nuts. Although it's not really a drive by. It's more like a stand and stop and wait to get into the parking lot. It's crazy. And I only live in Eugene. I can't even imagine what it's like in the big city right now. Crazy.
I know. But there's a nice bustle in the street, which is good for the economy. And, you know, I mean, if a couple last minute gift ideas that I recommend are, there's always gift cards. For example, you can not only get a gift card from AHA Modern Living, for example.
Oh, thank you.
But also, what about gift cards for massages or spa days or even a cooking class? Or what about skydiving for your really adventurous friends?
Oh,
that's the whole thing. You know, you can give adventures as well as great gift ideas. So don't overlook gift cards. Another thing is, you know, flowers are one thing, but what about something that will live past the holiday, like a potted rosemary plant? And sometimes, you know, Jamie, they're shaped like little Christmas trees. Have you seen them? And then you've got that great flavor that you can use. And as long as you have them by a nice sunny window in the south or west exposure of your house, it should do quite well. I received two really cute Christmas trees this year. They are about 2 feet tall at the most.
Aww.
And one was a golden cypress from some friends of mine that smells heavenly with little golden balls. And the other one was from Costa Farms. It was a Norfolk Island pine with red little balls. So my point is if you know someone who doesn't have the energy for whatever reason to buy their own Christmas tree, buy them a little tree that'll give that nice fragrance. You give them the nice evergreens that have been dating back since the ancient times, and you're keeping something alive.
Okay, I just have to say one thing about gift cards. Okay, I don't know why they have such a bad rap, but well, I mean, I do because I used to hate getting them. But I used to get them for these places I never would shop at. I've never been to, and so I think the idea of when you're giving somebody a gift card is you give it to a place that they frequent. You know, like Starbucks. I used to do Starbucks up the Yin Yang. For me this year, plants at plant nurseries. I would love to have a nursery gift card. I spent so much money on plants this year. It's crazy. Okay.
Me too. I'm with you on that. Even an online gift card would be great to an online garden shop.
Absolutely. Like AHA Modern Living. Anyway, other great gift ideas that we, from some of our Facebook and Twitter followers, like Kylie
Baumley from Ohio. She's the gardening. Yeah, she's the book editor for Horticulture Magazine.
Yes, and so I think she's got some pretty good ideas for books for gardeners. Okay, one of them, succulent container gardens. Check this one out: toad cottages and shooting stars. And then obviously, from Chris McLaughlin, she was one of our guests earlier on in the year. She's got the Idiot's Guide to Composting. So those are all ideas. You can go to your local Barnes & Noble or Borders bookstore, and you can find those books.
Absolutely. In fact, Chris McLaughlin just wrote a book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Heirlooms. And if you look back in our archive, you'll find an interview from Chris and I talking about heirlooms. So now her book is out, and it's the perfect gift for anyone who's ready to move on to the next stage of vegetable growing.
So some other great ideas, like Carrie Michaels of Container Gardening on About.com. She's got great ideas for containers and gifts, like you said. And she's got them situated in these cute little, you know, vintage cookie containers or coffee cans.
Oh,
you know,
She's great at that. And, you know, can we put these on our blog page so that people can come and find all these great ideas?
Of course, of course. And we have, you know, some lists like Teresa Soul. Is that how you say your last name? I know you've been like winning all these great gifts throughout the year.
Okay. I know. I did win a cooking class, people, but we don't want to get all our listeners hating me. So let's change the subject.
Anyway, so she's got some great ideas with her.
Oh, Garden Shoes Online.
With GardenShoesOnline.com.
Exactly. And the reason Jamie's saying that is because I did win some garden shoes off of Facebook. That's full disclosure, but a disclosure. But it, really, they have all the top brands. So she probably has some great ideas for, you know, what's the hottest in garden shoe technology.
I know. When you're out in your mucky backyard, you definitely want to look your coolest, okay? So she's got some great stuff on GardenShoes.com. Some other ideas that I personally like, you know, I've got all the tools that I want, so okay, I'm not really into garden tools. I do want gift cards for plant nurseries, but some other things that are that gardeners may like that are not specific to garden tools. What about a flower arranging class? You know,
oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, so I'm growing some great summer perennials. I don't really have the slightest idea of how to put them in a flower arrangement. You know, I kind of do what I can, but Deborah Prinzing, she's getting into flower arranging, and she had a really awesome class up there in the Seattle area. So that would be cool. What about a wine class? Okay, we're going to have
absolutely.
Yeah, I talked with one of my friends, Angus, at the Broadway, and we're going to get into that later. But I took one of his Around the World in 90 Days, and so you get to taste all these wonderful wines, and he pairs them with food. It was the greatest experience, and we actually met, you know, some new friends there, so that's pretty cool. We'll get into wine a little bit later. And then here's another thing that I just, like, had an aha moment, is olive oils and balsamic vinaigrettes. We have a new store locally. You can get, like, fig balsamic infused or fig-infused balsamic oils or vinegars, excuse me, pear champagne olive oil. I mean, pair those two together and you can create salads, you can marinate vegetables. And so I think that's a great gift idea for people who are growing their own food.
Plus, if you grow, if you start early enough, you can make those products yourself very easily for a lot less money. It's very easy to make spice vinegars and that sort of thing. One thing you got me thinking about, though, when you said balsamic vinegar was another great gift would be last-minute travel packages. For example, I was fortunate enough to win a cooking day class at Cook Italy, which is based in Bologna, Italy, and we're going to do a podcast about that later. But that is the food capital of Italy. So why not think about, like Jamie said, and look for a great cooking school or even something less expensive or more doable at your local nursery or your local food shop. So there's always classes you can take. And, you know, that brings me to one last idea that we didn't mention was, and, you know, the whole idea of one, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes, one of the best ideas I thought came from Margaret Roach, who talked about the fact that she often will wrap wine bottles in brand new, beautiful tea towels. And, you know, they have those lovely tea towels, and I don't want to push again for AHA Modern Living, but you guys check it out. I think they're really nice as a customer, but that's something you can think about too. And then that kind of leads us on to our next topic, which is what happens if you really want to have a party and you say to yourself, I'm insane, I haven't done a thing, the house is a mess, how can I do this? Well, we look at a few ways that you can do last minute parties. For example, let me throw out a couple ideas. You could do a potluck. If everybody is chipping in with drinks and appetizers, it's a lot less pressure for you. Everybody feels like they're involved, and you'd be amazed what great food you get. Another thing is make a big pot of chili or stew and have that be the basis for your party. And then when your guests walk in after something's been cooking all day long, honey, you got a great party on your hands before you even give them a drink. Speaking of drinks, don't forget about punches. You know, for centuries, people have made Glühwein and Glögg and different kind of mulled wine drinks, but you can also make spiced ales like Wassail punches. Those can really be a fun way to add something special. And one last thing to consider is a fondue party where maybe you have one cheese fondue with different breads and apples to dip and celery, or maybe even carrots that had been blanched, and then an oil fondue with different types of meats and sauces to kind of balance that. And then you could finish with the chocolate fondue and really pig out, but that's what the holidays are all about.
Absolutely. Put those cares aside and eat what you want. I think dessert parties are another great idea. We did a blog post at Aha Modern Living about that, so I'll put that on the podcast page. But those are all really, really great ideas.
These are all different ways for you to have a good party at the last minute at Christmas, but what about you, Jamie? Have you heard of any interesting parties?
One of my friends, she has a party every year. And rather than asking for, you know, a hostess gift or whatever you bring to the party, I mean, a lot of people bring food, but she asks people to bring food for our local food bank. So people bring bags of canned food, dry goods and stuff like that. I think that's a great way to be thoughtful, not only to your hostess, but because that's a cause that she really feels deeply about. And so I just thought that was a great idea.
I think that's really nice at this year, especially when there's so much unemployment and people suffering. It kind of reminds you of what the true spirit of Christmas is all about, which isn't just overindulging, but, you know, goodwill towards man.
Yes. So,
and women and children, too. And dogs.
And that's another great gift idea. I mean, giving money mm-hmm. to a charity that your friends or family members feel really passionate about, you know, rather than giving.
You could even.
Go ahead.
Exactly. I think those charitable gifts are really a great idea. And also, you could also, if you're not going to get the other person mad, you could adopt a dog for them at the pound. As long as you knew that they could really handle the responsibility and were serious about it.
Yeah, or donate food or cleaning supplies. I mean, pounds always need that kind of stuff, you know. So
that's a great idea.
Donate it to the pound in their name. That would be a great idea without the potty training responsibilities. You know, when we think about hostess gifts, you're coming to a party, you know, what sort of wines are you going to bring? And that's something that I talked with one of my friends who, if anybody in Eugene is listening to this, Angus, who is the owner of the Broadway, they have moved from Broadway Street down to Oakway Mall. So go check him out there. But one of the things that he suggested is to avoid wines that people have love-hate relationships with, like Pinot Noirs. People either love them or they hate them. And the same with Nebbiolo, okay? So stay away from the wines that tend to be on the extreme side. And he encourages, you know, try to find more interesting blends. You know, blends are a lot easier on the palate, I think. You know, they might not be.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I mean, for me, 100% Sangiovese is really difficult for me, but mix it with a blend of like a Merlot or a, you know, Syrah, I don't know, any sort of blend out there just kind of takes the intensity out of that kind of wine.
So, yeah, some wines are just made to be eaten with food and they're not as drinkable just straight. So I love that idea of the blends. I do that a lot too. And what was his attitude about pairing wines with food? I mean, we all learned that white wine should go with chicken and fish and red wine goes with red meat. Did he have any suggestions about that, Jamie?
You know, he did. And you go on the internet and you're going to find, it's like going to a hardware store. You say, hey, this is my project, and you're going to get a million different answers, okay? But his particular attitude about it was just stick with the wine that you enjoy, okay? If you have a very sophisticated palate, yeah, you might not get full enjoyment of pairing your wine with your food, okay? Because one will tend to overpower the other, but if it tastes good, just enjoy it, right? And then one of the things he suggested is an easy way is pair the wine with the food of that particular region. So like, okay, we're here in the Northwest, Willamette Valley. We have great salmon up here and we have great Pinot Noir. Those two go really well together because salmon, you know, it's a stronger, more rich kind of fish. And Pinot Noir tends to be on the lighter side. So those two tend to go really well together.
That's a good idea. And also, I guess the idea that if you have a lot of acidity in your drink, would you want to be having that more with an acidic meal, for example?
Absolutely. Basically, this is not like great relationships or great design. Opposites do not attract when you're pairing wines with food, okay? You definitely want, if you have an intense food like red meats or whatever, heavy, you want to pair it with a heavy wine. So basically, the idea is you don't want your food or your wine to overpower each other. You want them to definitely complement one another. So
Perfect. And what about like wine suggestions? Like, okay, say that you want to spend under $30. What does he recommend?
Well, Washington blends, for example, Guardian Chalkline or Hestia Meritage. I hope I'm saying those correctly. Those are small producers up here in the Northwest region, but they are top quality wines. And then under $20, let's say, Napa's second label of Cabernets, for example, Forefront from Pine Ridge is one of his top picks for under $20. And if you're bargain shopping here, okay, there's still some tasty wines under $10.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Tilia wines from Argentina or Portuguese dry wines, for example, Espiga. Help me out with that. Am I saying that right?
Well, if there's any Portuguese people out there, please let us know whether we said it. But I think that what's nice is about these wine suggestions are that there's something different. You know, it's a reminder that you don't always have to buy from Napa Valley. You can also look at some of these Argentinian wines or Portuguese wines, particularly in that price category.
Yeah, so those are some great suggestions from Angus, but and those type of typically tend to be on the West Coast, but also Sunset Magazine has great wines by category. So budget, good wines for the value, or if you really want to splurge for a special occasion, they have some great suggestions.
And what about new wines or new winemakers to look out for? Any names he could drop for us?
Yes, he has a few. Jerry, I don't know if Jerry has a last name, but I sure he does. Jerry at Guardian, and then Justin at J. Dawn. And if anybody wants to look that up, it's J, and then the second word is D-A-A-N. And then he mentions Aaron of Hayden Fig, Brad at Ayers, Jason Moore in Napa, and he says there's more every year, so.
Absolutely, and I do want to plug Idaho Wines, which are definitely getting better and better every year. They really are making progress, and you're seeing these small wineries pop up all over. I know in Virginia and all over the country. And we're all for supporting your local growers and local wineries and local store owners as much as possible. Now, what about champagne? Because, you know, New Year's Eve is coming up. And frankly, I'm not the biggest champagne drinker. What did he have to say?
Well, he was kind of funny. He's like, well, if you don't like champagne, then leave it for the rest of us to drink. So hands off for people who don't like champagne. But, well, first of all, can I just say this? Champagne is one of those wines that goes with everything. So we were just talking about
That's
pairing
right.
wine with foods. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is a great, I think champagne is a great gift for, or if you're coming to a dinner party, champagne would be a nice gift idea. So if you're not too versed on the types of wines out there, he suggests to try the Segura Viduas Cava from Spain. How did I do there, Teresa?
Tell us all the Spanish-speaking listeners out there. You can judge our pronunciation.
from Reuterer Estate, you can try their champagne from California. I've never heard of those two wines, but and I can't say that I'll try them, but there you go.
And also, he mentioned an Margain champagne, didn't he?
Oh, yes, Margain champagne. He says that's a good, I think, introductory wine to get into without breaking the bank. Champagne.
And then, you know, for those of you who are open to new things, I'd like to recommend the Italian Prosecco instead, which is a dry white bubbly wine. And I started to drink it when I lived in Europe. You usually have it as an aperitif before you have dinner. And it's a light wine. It's easier to digest on the stomach for me personally. Sometimes champagne, even the really expensive ones, can kind of give me a stomach ache a little bit. But I find that Prosecco is a lot easier for those of us who don't really like champagne as much. And then we can leave the expensive champagne for the rest of those folks who do.
I do appreciate the complexity of those bubbles. Anyway.
Thanks very much, Jamie. And you know, speaking of champagne, it kind of brings me into 2011.
And I mean, woohoo!
Cheers. Well, we have a really big year planned. I mean, we kick it off by traveling across the country in February and March. We're going to be speaking at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show for 2 days in a row.
Come see us in Seattle.
So definitely come see us. We're thrilled to be at the second largest garden show in America. And we also are going to be together in Boston for the Boston Flower and Garden Show in March. So we're just thrilled about that. And we have a lot of exciting promotions planned coming up and a lot of really great interviews. We're very excited about the upcoming year, aren't we?
We are. And there is some announcement that I think it's a little too premature to announce. But yeah, 2011 is going to be a great year for Nest and Style.
Absolutely. And there's going to be one more book author among the team, too. But we won't say any more until it's more official.
That's right.
And speaking of books, books are great gift items. You know, grocery gardening is great for anyone you know who wants to learn more about gardening or preserving or even enjoying food. 40% of the book includes recipes.
I was just going to say, cookbooks that use ingredients fresh from your garden are awesome gifts. So grocery gardening should be on top of your list.
So even though this was a last minute podcast, we hope that you still have time to implement some of these ideas into your holidays. And we wish you all the best this holiday season. And if you celebrate Christmas, have the merriest Christmas ever.
Until next time, go grow something. Thank you.